It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, or youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Party on, party people. We had Jameis on. We heard the Jameis audio. Well, we didn't have him on the show. We had the Jameis audio. He's becoming a redemption arc that I think people are starting to get on board with. That guy stepped in it so many times in college, including very serious allegations. Yes. Like, people talk about the crab legs, but there were very serious allegations where so many people were down on him, right? And by the way, they were, the sexual assault charges that were against him were ultimately dropped. And they were unfounded, right? They were lacked evidence.
Yes.
But that guy has been through it. His career went into a spiral when he was in Tampa. He goes and he starts redeeming himself and kind of changing the narrative about him when he was in New Orleans. And now here he is in Cleveland, where guys are pulling behind him. Which career arc is more impressive, Jameis or Baker's? Because you see the one about Baker Mayfield that came out this week?
Mm-mm.
So earlier this year, there was a Texas high school that needed equipment in order for their season to go on. They didn't have helmets. They weren't some sort of powerhouse. It's a really small school. Baker Mayfield donated $17,900 so they could buy equipment, buy helmets for their team so they could play. They won a state championship.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they went from a 3-8 season to the next season winning the state championship.
10-3. So it wasn't like some powerhouse that he played for.
Yeah.
It was, he saw a team that was in need, donated almost 18 grand. They go on and win the state title. And their whole team is saying that they bonded over watching Baker Mayfield, pulling for Baker Mayfield, and they end up winning a state title.
That's pretty cool.
And he did it like in the shadows, right? Like, this wasn't something that was overly publicized or that Baker's PR team was pushing out there. This was Baker doing something good for people.
And the thing is, I think Baker got lumped into the same group or same persona as Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely, because he was on the heels of it, yeah.
But he was never that.
No. He was the walk-on who ended up winning a Heisman, who, you know, nobody believed in.
He should have been the really cool story.
Yeah.
But he was a little cocky. And
he was immature.
And he may have planted a flag and, you know,
grabbed his crotch. Yeah. And, like, he did a lot of things that turned people away, for sure.
Look, I mean, I'm not trying to excuse it, and I'm not going to excuse it. But, look, you give a kid all of that fanfare, all of that money. Yes, he got money. If you're insane, if you don't think he did, at that age, when they haven't been kind of like heading towards that path, and it's like when somebody wins the lottery, so they end up going broke or doing something very stupid because there hasn't been a path to that. You know what I mean? And that's I think that's what happened. And I think he grew up and he matured. Now, like we talked about this last year, like Baker, not only is he just he's a good quarterback, like, I like him. Like, I genuinely like him.
Look, there's something to, like, the dumb mistakes that college athletes used to make.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and, like, some of those guys, especially in the SEC, right, they were given a lot of money and a lot of perks that nobody was supposed to know about. And so there was, like, this invincibility cloak because they could get away with more because they weren't supposed to have the money. So there were going to be people working to cover it up. Mm-hmm. Now with NIL, there's accountability because people know.
Everybody know you have the money.
And it, especially when that money comes from the university now, those mistakes are going to be amplified, and they're not going to be covered up like they once were.
And it comes with strings attached now.
Yep.
You gotta toe the line.
Yeah. And it was like, sweeping under the rug. Well, that's going to be a lot harder to do now. And that gives that the maturity level of Baker was non-existent. And you could say the same for Jameis Winston, too. I find myself now starting to pull for both of those guys. More so Baker Mayfield, though, just because of he seemed like he was like Jameis never seemed like he was this conceited jerk that he just seemed wildly immature. Right.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield seemed like he was legit an a-hole. Like it really did.
Very bro-y.
No, more so than bro-y, just like entitled is what Baker felt like. Now you feel like he has been humbled for a really, really long time, and he went through it.
Man. I can go with that.
Yeah. But both those guys' arcs are significant.
Look, there's nothing that we love more as like a community of sports fans is than a redemption arc.
Yep. Yep.
For the best and worst of people.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a game flexed on into a Thursday night.
We did.
Yeah, and it's going to be a quack off. The Los Angeles Chargers, quarterbacked by Justin Herbert, will be playing on a Thursday night now, December 19th, against the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix in the Denver Broncos.
Could have some AFC playoff implications.
Right now, with the way that both of those teams are playing, absolutely it will have playoff implications for those teams. Now, they've got to do the work over the next, 4 weeks to make sure that they stay in those hunts.
And in order to get this game flexed in, they had to flex it now. For those, you have to have there's a 28-day window. And actually, both teams have the opportunity to say, no, screw you, because it makes it a short week. But on the flip side, doesn't give them a bye, but it gives them an extended week of preparation going into week 17.
Yeah.
Which matters.
Gives you a little bit extra, that what they call the mini bye.
Mm-hmm.
They call those the mini bye. And that would lead to quite the weekend if Oregon were to be hosting a college football playoff game.
No.
Right? Because that game going to be on December 19th, the first round of the college football playoff. Friday, December 20th, Saturday, December 21st. So there's only one game on that Friday.
See, that's what I feel like that gives, I know this is dumb. I feel like that's an unfair advantage for the two teams, or the winner that comes out of that game over the winners of the games, the three games the next day.
That one day extra there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no matter what. Whoever wins is playing a team that's sitting on a bye, so
yeah.
There's your big advantage.
Yes.
If it was like if any of those teams would have had to meet up head to head, I think that'd be like, yeah, that's bogus. You can't really do that. But since they're going to be waiting for a team that's going to be on a bye anyways,
fair enough.
You know, I'll say nothing burger.
Fair enough.
More or less a nothing burger. And I think they all get more than a week off too, because of how the quarterfinal round matches up on the calendar. It's not going to be a traditional 7 day, because I think the next ones, I think you get at least 10 in between. Yeah, 9 or 10 days in between, because they're playing a midweek, because those games are going to be like closely around New Year. So you got the Fiesta Bowl is going to be on December 31st, and then all the other ones are the quarterfinal games are January 1st.
Okay.
So it's a 10 to 11 day gap that you have there.
Look, gotcha. The foosball towards the end of the calendar year here is just gonna be great with the CFP.
It really is.
Having that break and then the run of games that we get with the additional rounds, it's gonna make things fun.
Well, and then just think of this. You will have the semifinals of the college football playoff are January 9th and 10th.
Mm-hmm.
The wild card round of the NFL playoffs start January 11th and 12th.
Just bang, 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 bang.
Yeah. So then you'll have your divisional round of the playoffs.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Are going to be right before the national championship game.
Gotta love it.
Oh, oh yeah, brother. I feel it. Let's go. I am so in. So in. All right. It is Football Friday. We will take a break from football right now. Because big little double dip we got coming up here. The hometown team, they have made announcements, and we're doing this now because we just got the announcements of who in, who out. Portland Trail Blazers, Danny Dusty on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Like a worn out
recording. Portland Trailblazers have a back-to-back against the Houston Rockets. 0-1 so far on a difficult road trip for the hometown team. They take on the 11-5 Rockets tonight and then have another one before embarking further on this swing. You mentioned something at the top of the show. This is the biggest dog Portland has been in Vegas all season long.
Yeah, 12.5 points.
Wow.
Yeah. I would imagine that means Jeremy's not going to go.
Yep. We got the injury report. Jeremy Grant illness.
Yeah. And there's stuff floats around through the team. And what you do is you keep them as far away from the rest of the team as humanly possible.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You go, oh, please, God, no, don't let it infest the entire team, because then the entire team's sick. And this happens around the league, and you can see it. It's not something that's predictable, but if you know that a team is sick, that's typical when you start seeing lines like this of like, yeah, they're going to run out of gas.
So you're saying NBA teams are like elementary schools?
Yeah, they are.
They are.
That's a real thing. I mean, yeah. They're just with each other all the time.
Well, when you put them on a germ tube and fly them across the country everywhere, and you're the team that travels the most than any other team in the NBA.
And then you stick them all next to each other on the bench.
Yeah.
Stick all next to each other. And look, visiting locker rooms are like the size of our studio.
Mm.
They're not very big.
And they're very big humans in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Squirrel moment. Did you see the video of Boban at the hotel?
No.
Boban Marjanovic, all 7'3" of him. He was at a hotel where his head was literally through the ceiling. Like it has ceiling tiles. Like he could not stand up in the room without his head going up and like pushing the ceiling tiles out of the way.
Did he have handfuls of goldfish?
No, but Zach Edey was on the bench for the Grizzlies of the day eating the Smart Pop Costco popcorn. He could not get his whole hand in the bag.
See, what do they do with mini bags? Like those guys, you just have to drink them.
No, that's what he had. He could only get like three fingers in there.
Yeah, that would be really tough about being that enormous of a human being. Yeah, yeah. What's a shot glass look like in Boban's hand?
The same way as like Andre the Giant.
Yeah, it's like it does. Probably looks like a thimble.
Yeah. Hyken took a picture of me next to Boban last year when we were both watching a game in the media room, and just the sheer size difference is one of like the wilder things I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God.
You guys are
like
from the same planet.
Yep.
That beer can in Andre the Giant's hand, it looked like one of those 6.5 ounce soda cans.
Those little tiny ones.
Yeah.
Back to the Blazers. They're playing the Houston Rockets tonight. They're big time dogs. If Jeremy's being put on, talk to him. Sounds like he's going to try to give it a go. Feeling better.
Respiratory illness?
Yeah, chest stuff. That sounds like that's mostly kind of squared away, but he did jam his hand in practice or in shoot around the other day. So that's he's got listed as a right hand sprain.
Okay.
Basically got a finger jammed.
Okay.
But Scoot is also questionable. So one of them might have to go. That's why Tanzay Moore and
quad contusion, by the way.
Justin Minaya, they both left the Remix, who are making their home debut today and tomorrow, I believe. But they bolted out of Portland, and they joined the team yesterday, day before yesterday, I think.
Well, that tells me wouldn't expect to see either of them then.
Or at least one of them.
Boy.
So...
All right.
That way you have Tazay would be kind of your break glass in case of emergency point guard.
Okay.
So I think that's a big part of this. And if you're looking for this game, like stylistically and kind of what to expect, Houston plays a very similar brand of basketball to Portland. They're ugly. They can't really shoot. They wear you out. They have a bunch of wings that are just going to bludgeon you to death. Tari Eason is there to Monte Kamara. Like they are just the spirit animals of each other.
224 and a half seems like a high point total for these teams then.
Weirdly enough, Houston has scored over 100 or over 105 in every game, even though if you look at like the effective field goal percentage, or let's take a look at half-court offenses. Portland's the worst half-court offense in the NBA by an order of magnitude. They are dead last. They score 85.1 points per 100 possessions, which is god-awful. Okay. To contrast that, the Cleveland Cavaliers score 108.9 points per possession, or points per 100 possessions.
Okay? They're number one.
They're number one. That's a 23-point gap. That's
Blazers bad at offense.
That's tremendous. But just
what's the difference between one and two?
108.9, 108.0. So a point.
Okay, so I think this is just how bad the Blazers are.
But here's the thing. Houston's not that much better. They're at 91.7. They are 25th in the NBA.
So they're just creating more possessions?
Basically is what it's going to come down to. Because while Portland is the number four offensive rebounding team in the league, Houston is number one.
Okay.
That's where they make their hay.
Battle of Wills.
Yes. And you talk the Rockets are the number three team in the league on putbacks, and they create the most putback opportunities. They also play in transition. They also can't shoot. Like it's very much a bit of a Spider-Man meme of like pointing back at each other because they're very similarly built.
Yeah, the big difference here is that one is 11-5, the other is 6-9,
and a lot of that has to do with they're further down in the process.
Yeah,
like that's Alperen Şengün is a guy that they really like. Tari Eason is a guy they really like. Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr. Like they've got a lot of dudes on this roster that they have a little bit more experience, a little bit more seasoning to them. And they've got some guidance with some veterans that make sense. Dylan Brooks can't hit the broadside of a barn, but weirdly enough, he's been their best three-point shooter this year. Not great, but eh. Fred VanVleet, Steven Adams has been bad as a player, but when you're talking about like the sage in the locker room, you really can't do much better than him. He's just a good guy to have. But this, I think this is, it's a little interesting that Vegas is going this far on the spread, which kind of leads me to believe this might go sideways.
Ime trying to take it to his hometown team.
I mean, he likes to take it to everybody.
Yeah, that is true.
That's just kind of how he is. I think the bigger thing is just kind of looking like grand scheme at where things stand is, I hopped on with the guys from No Ceilings who do a bunch of draft and evaluation stuff, some of the best in the business. And we started talking about Donovan Clingan and Shaedon Sharpe. But then we got to Scoot Henderson and kind of got to the higher level stuff. And I started digging into kind of like, I kind of have a rule where I don't want to murder young guys. I want to give them some time.
That's a drop.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I want to give them some time. Let them marinate, right?
Look, I'm going fast and furiously over here.
But I started looking at where Scoot, like the first five games of the season, right? It's like, hey, no, they're showing some progress. There's some stuff here. Well, through 15 games, his points per shot attempt is exactly the same as last year, 96.4. That's a way kind of to measure efficiency. His assist rate is almost identical. It's up 1%. His turnover rate is up, which is not good. Okay, so you're talking about his points per shot attempt. He's in the bottom 10th percentile. His assist rate is league average. His turnover rate is one of the worst in the league. And I'm like, okay, well, let's take a look at his shooting. He's made an improvement as a rim finisher. Last year, he was one of the worst in the league at 46%. Okay, he was in the 7th percentile. This year, it's up to 55%.
Hey.
But that's a 31st percentile.
Well, improvement.
His three-point shooting has actually dropped off. He's currently 13 of 43 for 30%.
Well, I can see why his three-point shooting is going down because, one, teams are not guarding him at times because he gets into chucker mode where they just chuck up the ball at the hoop and you go, what was that?
Especially the off-the-dribble stuff, like the three that he hit the other night.
Walk in,
just like literally walked into a comfortable three. And it was like, oh, there you go. That's the shot you need to take. And I think this is what we talked about with Scoot. The things that have the negative reports that I've gotten all basically stem from one thing. He doesn't have a plan.
Well, because he went to a place that had no plan. Like everything that we just talked about, it's like what happens with the G League Ignite guys over and over and over again, right?
Jalen Green, which you'll see tonight for Houston. He started to show a little bit this year, and now if you look at like all of his splits, I mean, it's dog water.
What these guys went through in the G League Ignite, kind of that formidable gap year, or the formative gap year that you have where, you know, in college coaches still want you to progress down a path that makes team basketball make sense, right? And improve. What the G League Ignite turned into was just a bunch of guys saying, if it's not going right, I'm just going to play me-ball because I got to get it right somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm. So it was semi-pro AAU.
It was brutal. And there's a reason why it doesn't exist anymore.
So if you look at like Jalen Green, who's one of those guards from G League Ignite, his effective field goal percentage has gone down basically every year. The one place where he's successful is at the rim. Everywhere else, whether you look at his mid-range, where he's currently in the ninth percentile, his three-point percentage, which he's in the 30th percentile. Like, does this sound familiar? Like, you take a look at all of these guys that have come from that Ignite program. Find me the success case. He's the best so far.
Yep. The sample size is really small, but it was not working.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of guys, too, that were like, oh, yeah, and they'll go to the Ignite, and they'll go to the NBA. And then it turned out they couldn't do it at the Ignite level. And it was like, oh, no. Yeah. This is like Dink Pate is currently playing in the G League because the Ignite went away.
Great name.
Right? He's playing down in Mexico City. And people are like, well, maybe he'll put it together. And it's like, Ethan Amasa, who was going to go to, I believe it was UCLA. He ended up going to the Ignite. Now it's like, what is he doing? I think he went to OTE. But it's like, they had so many guys. Babacar Sané was like another guy that was like, oh no, he's, you know, he's built like a truck and like he'll be able to figure some stuff out. Tyler Smith, like he was a guy that people really liked. Oh, maybe he can be kind of like a Channing Frye kind of guy. He just plummeted in the draft. It was just like, there hasn't been a success case to point to.
Because they had no big leagues or big leagues. They had no bigs in that league.
No,
period. The G League has no bigs. Yeah. And that messes with you fundamentally in how you play the game of basketball.
Yeah, I mean,
even in a guard-centric league.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Hyken just wrote a big story on Sergi Oliva and what he's doing as the Remix head coach. They're using that as like an incubator right now of like just to try stuff. They're playing, I want to say, like four possessions faster than the next team in the G League right now. Like they're playing at breakneck pace. They're getting up 50 plus threes a game.
Yep.
They're using it like a test lab, like a NASCAR test facility for basketball. Like, hey, what if we do this? What if we do this? What if we do this? Is that a conducive place to grow players, or is that a conducive place to try ideas?
Try ideas.
And that's the thing. There's just so many different reasons why it went wrong.
And you're limited in the ideas you can try due to the lack of skill with the bigs, because if you're 7 feet, you're in the NBA.
Yes, like they'll put you down there. Like Ibu Baji will be down there every now and then, and then they're like, okay, we're gonna bring you back up because we're gonna have you practice with the big team because we want the 7 foot one guy to get some reps with the big club. Like that's size is the scarcest commodity in the NBA. So with Scoot, I'm not saying I'm out on him. I think I'm officially out on the star level stuff. But if you're like watching for the improvement, for as much as everybody, and this isn't me being the ant guy, this is just me looking at the numbers, as bad as Anthony Simons has been this season, he has been bad. It's the worst stretch of his career. Scoot has been worse.
Noticeably.
And that's the thing is,
if you don't watch and see that, there's something wrong.
And that's where I kind of go,
well, you have an axe to grind.
Yeah, you have a bias at that point. Like that, and that's where I'm like, look, if Ant was playing and continued to play this bad and Scoot is just, guys, he's cooking. somebody's got to sit Ant down and be like, hey, man, the kid's got it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing is he hasn't shown that. He hasn't had – and everybody's like, oh, well, he hasn't had the opportunity. I'm like, Chauncey Billups has given Scoot Henderson every opportunity imaginable. He's allowed him or tried to allow him to close – God, I don't even know how many games, and there's been just times where he just hasn't been able to do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, screw it, Banton, over here. And I think it's like, again, I'm not trying to kill the kid, but if you're, he needs to, over the next couple of months, he needs to start showing markers of having the thing, because I'll say the same thing about him that I said about Zach Collins. What does he do every night that gets him on the court? Real quick, what does Scoot do that gets him on the court? Other than the franchise investment, what is the skill that he brings to the floor?
Effort.
I mean, does
well. Sometimes we talked about his shooting. Long stretches of his lackadaisical play,
and that's the thing is like he can't afford to not be a low energy guy or to be a low energy guy. He has to bring that juice, and there's been times he hasn't done that.
And if you think that he's not getting a chance, he plays on average 26 minutes a night this season. Last year he played 28 minutes a night. So, yeah, he's getting ample opportunity.
Yeah. So it just, I hope he starts putting it together. Now, look,
Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Look, I want to see him do that because he's flashed that every now and then. But Donovan Kling has played 15 games in his career, and in 15 games he's already had more moments than Scoot has had in 70 plus games.
No doubt about it.
That's the thing. Is like usually by now, you start to see like, oh, I'm not asking him to be a finished product. That's dumb. He's 20 years old. He's a kid. But like the whole idea of this is like he should have and would continue to show flashes. Like my whole thing is I want to see, and you don't see it in kids particularly, is the consistency. But give me a game where 80% of the game he's consistent. And if that's the case, then you could go, okay. Because
And currently he's playing over half a game.
And the thing is like Anfernee Simons in his rookie year, even under this stupid extenuating circumstances, that was game 82 and Dave Yeager going, screw it, I'm going to do this. From the second that game got on, him and Gary Trent Jr. went nuclear and you went, oh, those guys have a future in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, and also nobody, like there was virtually no tape on Ant at that point too.
But I mean,
and nobody saw that coming, but yeah. No, it
when given the opportunity,
I'm basically
for those,
just arguing for argument's sake.
But I'm saying,
at this point.
But like with any player in the NBA, usually through a season, when given the opportunity, you have that moment or moments, and we have yet to see that from Scoot. And that's my biggest hang up on this. That's where, look, if he starts to do it next week, hell, he does it tonight. If he comes back, I'll be right back there. I'm like, hey, I had it wrong. But if you look at like, the way this stuff is borne out over history, it just doesn't look good right now. So,
no.
All right, coming up next, it's time for our worst day on the web. And look, I don't know if you guys have ever seen like any of those like TLC smuggling shows, like how drug smugglers get people across.
Is that one that you're going with those rivers and waterfalls or rivers and lakes that you're used to?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
What if I told you the Dutch police found something that would kind of blow your mind, both literally and figuratively. Oh, but first, here's the big kahuna with a Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Maybe this says more about me than you guys. Do you guys ever, when you were younger, like, sit around with your friends and talk about ways that you could get away with crimes?
Nope.
No. No.
I mean, there's.
If
like,
I was going
like
to do it, this is how I would
like
do it.
Like, the way you framed that as, like, it was a common occurrence with you and your friends?
Yeah.
No. I will say that those conversations 100% have been had. Like, oh, we could do that.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Yeah, but as a, like, a common occurrence, like, if we were making our bar itinerary,
how would you get away with bank robbery?
No, it would not be one that comes up often.
Usually with me, it's an inner monologue while I watch Law and Order.
Right, like how did you screw this up? Like my wife watches a lot of like those crime documentaries, and I'll pop my head. And I'm like, amateur.
But like this pairs very well with Danny saying the quiet part out loud often. This is all making sense.
It all lines up. The smuggling world, not one I'm intimately familiar with.
All right.
I do love, I think it's on TLC. It's like they go down like into Colombia and Mexico and basically Central America. And then they do some in the Balkans of like, here's the like the TSA of this country kind of a deal. And here's the things that they use or that they check for. Like in Colombia, it's cocaine. You know, it's dumb.
No way. It's not, I don't think they do a very good job of checking that.
No, they don't. You'd be surprised how much they catch going out of there. It's nuts. And no, it's not stereotyping. It's what happens. That's where the cocaine comes from.
Well, they catch what the cartels want them to catch.
It's not the submarine full of it.
It's like the street magician. Look over here.
Not shoop. Yeah, not at the literal truckloads that we're shipping out of here. The ones that I love are like when they get really ingenious and they actually catch like the guys that are really trying to be sneaky. I can't remember what movie it was, or maybe it was Breaking Bad, where they turn their drugs into like pressed objects.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you make it into the truck,
and
then you melt it down.
Yeah, whatever.
I think Cheech and Chong did that with their van one time.
Well, yes, I believe they did.
They did that with a cast.
What?
They caught somebody with like a hard cast. The whole cast was made of wasn't cocaine. It was some synthetic drug. I can't remember what it was, but I was like, so if you start sweating,
ketamine, LSD, acid.
It actually might. It might have been LSD, but I'm like, do you just like take that through your skin?
Yeah, I would assume so. But you would probably.
No, I think that's fentanyl patches.
Have some sort of protective layer.
I mean,
I know, but you put the cast on knowing if I sweat, I'm going to be tripping balls.
But I mean, like.
So you like wrap your arm in cellophane so it doesn't get direct skin contact?
Or you go hit that treadmill.
Let's go!
What happened to the product?
Yeah.
Why is Larry just sprinting?
Why is he licking the wall?
It's the speed. It got to him.
And this is all to say because the Netherlands Times, yes, that Netherlands, there was a drug bust where they seized a bunch of drugs. And then while they were at the property, they found these garden gnomes that weighed approximately 2 kilos or so.
Okay.
Made entirely of Molly.
Oh.
Like, not a thing about it, not Molly.
Did they just made a garden gnome? Like, it looks like your normal grandma would pick
stone
this up at,
in the yard.
Yeah.
Garden gnome.
She's going to pick that up at the Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what I got for the lawn?
I mean,
it's adorable.
Yeah. I mean, but like, this is you were having a good time.
Maybe that's why grandma pinches your cheeks all the time. Mm. It always wants to like
touch you,
touch your face.
Grandmas have actually been secretly tripping balls for 1,000 years, and they just quietly passed it on.
All of the garden gnomes are actually made of Molly.
We got a couple of garden gnomes, but they're the gangster ones, and I think at least two of them have their middle fingers up.
Oh,
somebody corrected me. It's not on TLC. It's on Nat Geo. Thank you, Vancouver Ford text line. Also, they should do a weekly segment called Danny Saying the Quiet Part Out Loud.
Yeah, well, it's called Every Show for 3 Hours. It's called Noon to Three.
Noon to say three. Weekly?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hiding in plain sight. But yeah, no, they were like, hey, just for S's and G's, do you want to test this thing? Because they were testing a bunch of stuff.
That's how they, no, that's a test for the officers. Because the guy's like, yes. They're like, all right, you have been put on paid leave. We'll bring you back.
But yeah, this drug enforcement group in the Netherlands, they were like, let's go ahead and take a look at this. And they found the entire thing was made of Molly.
Wonder what tipped him off.
They said that they were testing, like the police found the gnome amongst a large batch of drugs seized in the area. They're like, but because of the weight, they were like,
So they find like 500 pounds of pills and then 7,000 garden gnomes. They're like, this is a weird combo.
So this thing basically weighed like 5 pounds.
So they're like, the legitimate business is the garden gnome business? We don't even buy that as a front. We are going to test these gnomes, and whoa, Nelly.
But apparently there was only a couple of them. So I wonder, like, are these garden gnomes, like, sitting in the safe? or hidden away when in a drug bust, and that's why people like.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones sitting on the Heide key outside of the front door.
Yeah, the like, drugs are everywhere.
I mean, look, you want to talk about hiding in plain sight? You'd be like, I don't know, officer. These kids keep stealing our garden gnomes.
And then we can't chase them down for 7 days.
Yeah, right?
they just keep going and going and going.
But, I mean, it's a pretty good front, right? Like,
well, these kids are thirsty.
You just put these... Wow, they're all really... They seem to be sweating a lot. Really involved, really interested in touching things, too. But if you were just like... You just put garden gnomes out front, had like a little drop box...
Yeah, I guess that would be that's the honor system, though.
Right?
Yeah, that is totally the honor system.
I would imagine stealing the garden gnome made entirely of Molly would not be a good idea.
No, not at all.
If you know what's good for you.
What if you're just like a random hooligan and you're like garden gnome and you like stole this not knowing that it was, you know,
that a seems like
grand worth of Molly.
That's a plot out of like a movie. Well, it's actually kind of like the plot of the new Brad Pitt. George Clooney movie that they got out on Apple.
Is that Wolves?
The Wolves? Yeah. Wolves, where the guy like unknowingly steals a large amount of drugs and is like, this is not good news. And he's like, uh-oh. The garden gnome I stole now is, I've got a cartel after me?
Okay.
So that doesn't sound good, especially a Dutch cartel.
Okay. Wow. I'm trying to do some math.
What are they going to do to you?
So, average Grandma Molly, $25. 25 times 453. That's how many. Oh, my God. It's an $11,000 garden gnome.
Mm. Well, Grandma got a smoking deal.
Got it at the swap meet.
And then she got run over by a reindeer.
See, those swap meet things are like, that's great.
That's a swap meet.
It's like antique roadshow. Like, Grandma's like, I got this at the swap meet for $5. She's like, this is an $11,000 garden gnome. She's like, ooh. They're like, what's the origin of it?
Can you tell me why?
MDMA is the origin of this garden gnome.
It's stamped as such. Yeah.
What's the origin? China white.
Yeah, this is from a Dutch lab.
Mm.
It's not old. It was actually made 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And you got some high grade stuff, Granny.
I mean, they'd probably go full on Super Troopers, right? They stamp it with their own emblem.
Yeah, Johnny Chimpo. Yeah, Johnny Chimpo.
The
Afghanistan animation.
I don't want a leader of garden gnome.
Or do I?
Oh, that's great.
So there you go. Not really a worst day on the web as much as an interesting day on the web of like...
Well, I'm sure it is for the guys who got arrested.
Or the one who lost their garden gnome. And if you go into a party, like, did you bring the garden gnome? No, it was stupid. Why would I bring it? Because it's 5 pounds of Molly! God. All right, coming up next, pivot back to some football. Following the the Browns winning last night, Myles Garrett threw down a mild gauntlet. We'll get to that and more here on Danny Dusty, Tenny the Fan. At home in snowpocalypse, the Cleveland Browns hold off the Pittsburgh Steelers 24-19. And a big part of that is the disruptive nature of the Cleveland Browns defense, anchored and led by the freak of all freaks, Myles Garrett. Finished the game with 5 tackles, 3 solo, 3 tackles for loss, 3 quarterback hits, and 3 sacks.
Oof.
Goodness gracious. In the snow, being able to do that, pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's good. It's for defensive linemen, it's almost easier to get leverage and to push offensive linemen because they're on skates as it is. You hear the term on skates. Well, then literally put it on ice or on a frozen field, and it gets that much harder to be an offensive lineman. Like, that's where great defensive linemen should feast.
Yeah, take advantage of. Because you can pin your ears back and you know that you can get guys off balance and make them look silly. Following the game, Myles Garrett was interviewed, and he didn't really mince words about where he thought he ranked in the pantheon of defensive players in the NFL.
You speak tonight, and if so, what was said?
I mean, he spoke at the coin toss, but that's about it. You know? Like I said, I got a lot of respect for him, a lot of respect for... You know, all the guys over there, and you know, the edge rusher in the league, but I'm number one. And you know, that's from edge defender one, edge one to defensive player of the year. I'm the guy. So that runs through me, There's no other person being defended as I am or schemed or planned against like I am. So this goes to show, no, you can throw that out the window. I'm going to find a way.
Myles Garrett talking about his counterpart on the other side of the field for the Pittsburgh Steelers, T.J. Watt. And I don't think it's an argument. Those are the two best defensive players in the NFL right now.
No, and last night, though, it was dominated by Myles Garrett, mm-hmm. and it was noticeable that T.J. Watt, he was a guy that I think one tackle for loss, mm-hmm. four tackles, zero sacks in the game. It's credit to Cleveland's offensive line and Jameis Winston, and obviously not wanting to make him affect the game, but again, that's a game where a guy like T.J. Watt should thrive, and if you look at his last three games for T.J. Watt, seven tackles, one sack in three games. Like, that was actually quite literally, that was what he did against the New York Giants, is mm-hmm. seven tackles, two sacks, mm-hmm. right? Like, he is a wrecking ball and a menace. But, you know, the last three, he has not been that force. They've won two of those three, and you do whatever, as long as you're winning, nobody really cares. But Myles Garrett did look like the defensive player of the year last year. Mm-hmm. Hell, he's a guy that should have won it last year.
Remember, the only reason he fell off really even at any point last year was because he's dealing with the feet injury, which he's continued to deal with to start this season, mm-hmm. which kind of impacted how slowly he started. But, I mean, when you're talking about the biggest disruptors in football, Micah Parsons, unfortunately, has fallen off a little bit due to some injury and where the Cowboys are at. But it's those two guys.
Well, yeah, some people, it's this podcast that's doing that to, to his play.
Look, I'll tell you, active players podcasting across sports, doesn't really matter what sport they're in. Yeah. Paul George keeps podcasting, keeps hyperextending his knee.
Oh. Draymond Green keeps podcasting and choking guys out.
And so getting suspended.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean.
Kicks in the nuts.
Active players podcasting presents an interesting wrinkle, but stop.
Yeah.
You're not doing anyone any favors.
You're not doing anybody any favors, but you're making some extra cash. And it's not, if that's how they're spending their free time, whatever. You know, like, we've had guys who've been distractions forever.
Yeah,
I mean, Lawrence Taylor didn't have a podcast. Mm. That dude filled his time with a lot of other stuff that was not wholesome and not good.
And underage girls.
And gnomes made of Molly.
Terrell Owens, T.O., was just a pain in everybody's ass. And the hilarious thing was, do you see his tweet about Debo Samuel?
No.
Debo's too focused on what he looks like and his accessories before the game. He's not focused on the game. T.O. said that.
All right, sit-ups in the driveway.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Sit this one out.
Bus driver of quarterbacks?
Yes. I need you to chill.
Golly.
Oh, but it's a little interesting. Miles making it known. I like this.
Yeah, call your shot.
Yeah.
Hey. SEC, he knows the SEC.
Look,
you own that narrative.
Closed mouths don't get fed.
That's right. He went to Texas A&M. He knows all about running your mouth and not winning things.
And
so maybe that'll
about,
happen with the defensive player of the year this year.
And something we talked about yesterday, he is actually one of those few players from the most recent generation who was the number one prospect coming out of high school, lived up to it in college and lived up to it in the NFL as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
He was a freak. It's one of these times, one of these days, we're going to have to spend a little time diving into that and how there has been basically since 2014-15, there has been a pretty seismic shift in how evaluations are done and what that's kind of led to top prospects, like, depending on which recruiting service you're looking at, a lot of them not good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of like big time busts. It's like, huh. But before that time period, pretty accurate.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Wonder
man.
What happened. All right. Coming up next. One cook in the kitchen got fired off the line. We'll get to that. Does the Giants make one of the weirder, more interesting,
whoa, never seen it
type decisions in the season? We'll get to that now. Number 3 on Danny Dusty, 10 of the Fan.